What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
I come here today to apologize on behalf of the Department of Defense for the incident that took place in Afghanistan this week, when American military personnel unknowingly and improperly disposed of Islamic religious materials, including the Holy Quran.
That's Peter Lavoie, Acting Assistant Secretary for Defense for Asia and Pacific Security Affairs, speaking at a mosque in Sterling, Virginia, apologizing on behalf of the military personnel who did unwittingly, while incinerating garbage, I believe the story is, burned some Qurans and other material that's considered religiously holy to Muslims. Of course, the outrage over this has seemed to be out of proportion, at least it seems to me to be out of proportion, with the unwitting offense. Joining us to talk about this event and also the new Syrian constitution, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He's professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College, a regular guest and author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me again.
How do you account for what I see as kind of the disproportional reaction among Muslims to what is now probably, in the strongest documented sense, an inadvertent burning of Qurans?
Well, it's basically the nature of bona fide, genuine Islam, and that's what they're revealing. In other words, the Quran is seen as God's sacred book that is perfect in heaven and revealed down here to Muhammad, and most of the Muslims would not be able to tell you how, or you can't even ask the question of how it came about, how it was put together. But nevertheless, it is a idol, you might say. It's not just a object that they revere. It is an idol. And in other words, I have often said, you know, when we compare Islam to Christianity or the Bible, we say that the Word of God in Christianity became flesh. In Islam, the Word of God became a book. And that book is, in reality, idolized, worshipped in and of itself. And so people have so deeply internalized this as a result of having been not only taught it, but if you question it in any form or fashion. You see, Muslim scholars in Islamic countries cannot, may not, even ask the question or do some research in terms of how the Quran came to be in terms of translation, composition, and so on. It is absolutely, if they do so, they put their life on the line. And this is another example that no one can question. They call it the Word of God, but nobody in Islamic circles asks how come or why. Can you give any explanation? We in Christianity do give explanations relative to the Old Testament, the New Testament, how the books were composed, how they were accepted in time, and so on. That is not possible in Islam, and so it's become, as I said, an object of worship in and of itself.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest to be with us for the remainder of the hour after this break. I invite your questions or comments as we talk about these two stories pertaining to Islam, the burning of Qurans at a military base in Afghanistan, and in a few minutes we'll talk with him about the new Syrian constitution, an attempt to bring some order out of political chaos, but also raising the question about whether or not Islam and democracy can coexist, whether or not Islam and democracy are incompatible with one another. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is professor emeritus of sociology at Illinois College, author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. Speaking of great books, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is one of those. It is a manual for pastors and for people in a congregation. It's called Pastors and Elders, and it focuses on the pastor's care for his people through the Word of God and the people's care for their pastor through the same Word of God. It's written by Pastor Timothy Meck. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February February, pastors and elders, at our website, issuesetc.org. That's where you can browse before you buy. But I do encourage you to go and give Concordia Publishing House a call and buy Pastors and Elders. Buy a copy for your pastor. He will find it very useful. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back with more and Dr. Alvin Schmidt's thoughts on the reaction to the Quran burnings, why it is that it is always a violent reaction in Islam. We'll be right back.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. We're talking about the burning of Qurans at a military base in Afghanistan and the reaction. A couple questions here, Dr. Schmidt. First of all, is there a prescribed way for a Muslim to devoutly dispose of a Quran?
Yes, there is a way. I'm not quite familiar with all the details. It's a long time ago since I read it, but there is an accepted way of doing it, although rarely ever done.
Okay. Why is it that the reaction, whether it is the burning of Qurans, whether it is cartoons of Muhammad, whether it is any kind of perceived slight, why is it that violence, especially in places dominated by Islam politically and culturally, is always part of the reaction?
Well, it really reflects what the Quran says. In many, many places, the Quran tells the Muslim followers that they are not to tolerate non-Muslims called infidels or unbelievers, that they may not say anything negative about Muhammad, may not say anything negative about the Quran. They may not question it, as I indicated a little earlier. If you do, you are immediately, as a Muslim, if you should do that, declared as a infidel, someone who's fallen from Islam and therefore worthy of death unless you repent. If, for example, you have now the individual Yusuf in Iran, who is under the death threat because he became a Christian, unless he recants and goes back. It's, again, whenever you reject what the Quran teaches or say anything negative about Muhammad, you are subject to the death sentence. And many people have been executed as a result of it and continue to be. it goes also back to what I said earlier, the book in itself is venerated worship. You know, the Quran, you and I think nothing of a Bible, putting it on a desk and putting some other books on top of it. That is not permissible as a Quran. It may never be under another book. It must always be separate. It must, before you handle it, you're supposed to wash your hands. And even in Gitmo, for example, we have arranged that the Quran can hang on a device that is visible, people can't touch it. In other words, the book in itself is sacred, holy, it's an idol. And anything that subtracts or detracts from that is a heresy. And it's so ingrained in Muslim belief, and there are, you know, 100 violent passages in the Quran that punish the person who violates the Quran or says anything negative about Muhammad. And so this is what these people are reflecting. It's also a convenient device or excuse for them to protest against the great Satan, America. And you're doing that, again, in the name of Allah, so let's do it. And they do.
With that said, do the apologies that have now become profuse and, I mean, we're running out of people to apologize, you know, to send over and apologize on behalf of this inadvertent burning of Qurans, how are those perceived by the radical Muslims who react in this way?
Well, for the most part, they wouldn't accept the apology, and this is why it was silly, first of all, for Obama to do it, and secondly, it only indicates that we are weak, we can't stand up. By the way, in this regard, just yesterday, your hearers, listeners may be very interested. If they want to Google a very interesting thing, there is the gal by the name of Kira, K-I-R-A, Vincent Davis. She is a voice actress and has starred in films. She gives an apology to Karzai, in terms of what's going on, and she says, I apologize for Afghanistan and you harboring terrorists that we have to fight for. I apologize for you killing a 12-year-old girl who had supposedly illegal sex. I apologize for the coded messages that were included in the Quran that were burned. This is the part that we don't hear too much about. There were coded messages in the Quran, or a number of Qurans that were used by the terrorists. She goes on to say, I apologize for your people having to die, and I apologize for Obama apologizing. It goes on and on. People want to, if they want to Google it, just type in Kira, K-I-R-A, Vincent Davis, and add to that the word apologies. It's rather interesting.
Let's talk a little bit about the new Syrian constitution. This has been the latest attempt to kind of bring order out of the chaos that seems to be the extension of the so-called Arab Spring. Do you think that this constitution is, given its influence under Islam, going to be or result in democracy?
No, for a number of reasons. First of all, some of the Western leaders, the external affairs minister in Canada, even our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, has called it a farce. And if you look at it closely, essentially it is, because it permits the present president, Assad, to stay in office for 14 more years. The new constitution requires the president for one term of 7 years, but his present terms would not count, so he could stay in office for another 14 years after the constitution, supposedly now passed a couple of days ago, would be passed. Secondly, the question remains, and is a very valid one, Islam and democracy are in essence oxymoronic. They cannot and they do not survive, with the exception of a quasi-democracy that you have in Turkey, and when Kemal Atatürk instituted democracy in the 1920s in Turkey, he was accused of being an atheist, and he did away with a lot of the Islamic practices, again indicating, and he wanted it, democracy of sorts, as opposed to strict Islam, indicating, for example, that Islam cannot coexist with democracy. And Ayatollah Khomeini, after he took over back in 1979 in Iran, he said Islam is politics and politics is Islam. And so the idea that Islam can operate democratically is contradicted by history, contradicted by the teachings of the Quran. And another thing that we don't realize, we tend to think from a Christian perspective. I often say, when you're looking at Islam, you have to consider and take note. This is an entirely different paradigm, a different Weltschauung, a different worldview over against what we would sometimes call or do call the Judeo-Christian concept, which underlies democracy in Western societies.
What are we watching overall there? Syria is just the latest manifestation of this, but for the last calendar year, there has been uprising, there has been political turmoil over, well, revolution, I think it's safe to call that, throughout the Arab world, the largely Islamic world. What do you think we're watching, Dr. Schmidt?
Well, we're watching, I'm afraid, given the political correctness in the whole Western world, I'm afraid that we will not stand up for our freedoms and will eventually lose them because we are afraid, just like Obama was, afraid to stand up. Instead, you apologize, and it portrays a posture of weakness. It portrays a posture of we not knowing what we really stand for or believe, whereas they do. And that kind of posture means that eventually, if it continues, and I'm afraid it will be the detriment of freedom, democracy, and accompanying factors like freedom of religion, Christianity, etc. I do not look forward to a bright future given our posture of political correctness, which is afraid to call a spade as it pertains to Islam.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. You can learn more about The Great Divide at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Schmidt, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Can I quickly insert that book is going to be available in Holland, in Dutch, in August.
Oh, good to hear it. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about the faith of U2's lead singer, Bono. Folks, here's a way that you can help us defend the faith and teach the truth. You can donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Donating them is very simple to do. All you need to do is give Craig a call, 618-223-8385. Last year, our listeners donated about $3,000 worth of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Again, find out more. Just give Craig a call. He'll explain the whole process to you and get it rolling. 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Remember to ask for Craig. We need to be aware that Islam is not simply just another religion out there, that kind of privatized religion that we've become so comfortable with here in the West, where everyone kind of keeps their views to themselves. And in a lot of cases, it just doesn't leak over into public action or politics. Now, you can say what you want to about politics and religion in the United States. When it comes to Islam, the two are one. And that means political action is religious action and vice versa. And that means that your political views are your religious views and vice versa. And this is not the way that we are accustomed to think about religion and politics. So we need to begin to change that paradigm, the way that we perceive Islam, not as a separation of church and state, but as the unity of mosque and state. And with that, we may be able to act a little wiser on the global scale as well as a local scale. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.